Good afternoon, everybody. Today is Saturday. It's Sabbath day. I have to confess, I'm drinking too much, party too much. Especially last night, I defended the Playboy party and the Skybox pimp party. It's awesome. And so, if anything goes good, I love it because of those parties. If anything goes bad, just blame those alcohol residues. Yeah, I'm just a regular researcher from iDefense. And starts like a couple years ago, I heard about some kind of PLA hacking, Pentagon was penetrated, those kind of story. And bring me a couple questions, because they talk about 3 terabyte data was taken in 2 months period. And I was thinking, can those guys do like math? Can those guys like have some common sense on the forensics? So since like the speaker was like Pentagon senior, so I think maybe something true. It's just curiosity. So I'm doing some of my own research. I love internet. Internet is widely open. And I don't have to be a spy. I'm too smart to be a spy. And I just sit in my nice couch, drink my tea, have some snacks, and type a couple keywords. I'm running in Texas, in Oklahoma, in Colorado. It's kind of just like a wet, wild west. You free run. You are a cowboy, you know. And from one keyword search, we have this, a splendid story. Okay, let's back to my agenda. So the first, we'll talk about what we haven't seen. That's probably most people already know it. And another second, I will talk about my research methodology. And then we form a PLA information warfare timeline. Then from there, we have deduction and induction, some facts in there. And from my own curiosity, my grandma always told me curiosity kill cats. Like, what the heck, I like it. So I have a one-step leap. So bring up another big story. Okay, this is the timeline for PLA information warfare from 1997 to 2009. And it looks ugly. It is. Sometimes truth is ugly. When you cut everything to pieces, you know, just like Michael Jackson, the nose fall out, the ear fall out. It is ugly. But thank you. Yeah. And this ugly picture gonna come back first couple times. So what Western Hemisphere see is, first we see Titan Ring. That's a code name, and go Google, go Wiki. It's a larger scale of intrusion. In the last couple of years, Germany, UK, a couple Western countries starts accusing PLA doing the hacking for the government sites. And they say they have evidence. Okay, I didn't find online, but well, that's they said. And there is Sandia National Laboratory. They have intrusion. And a couple of human rights congress was crying about their box was hacked. And a couple of DOD contractors like Raytheon and Lockheed, whatever, whoever, you guys know. Just you guys didn't tell the media, you know. You guys gonna lose contract. And Pentagon, yeah, every day 14,000 times scan, 3 terabyte, whatever. And the Navy barracks. NASA, Indian government. It's interesting. And after we see this, we'll have a question whether PLA did. So based on this question, there is a yes or no. Some people just say very confirmed PLA did. Some people ask question, how, why, when, what kind of method? Whether really PLA did, maybe this is deceive and deceptive. So It's kind of like a set. It has a subset. It has attributes within it. You have to fulfill those criteria to make the statement true. So when you say PLA did, whether this relates to state sponsor, definitely PLA is a state unit. Their entity must be they to do it. They did it. But not necessarily. Sometimes under their own will. So whether it's state sponsor, you still have to fulfill the set. All those attributes have to be true. So there is many gaps within it. And it's beautiful digging, beautiful internet browsing. First, I found out that's a PLA barracks. Soldier, they have the capability, physical infrastructure, they have everything. Provide for them, they can browse in the internet. They can go through their barracks, go to everywhere. And so they have the infrastructure, they have the capability. And this guy was a little hacker for 5-6 years. And right now he's in PLA, he's an armor police fireman. And he has the ability to do so. So, question before I start everything is whether they're under the order to do so. That's very important. Whether they did it just for fun. That's very important because it forms different conclusion. If a soldier with his uniform or a soldier without a uniform, how to identify his status? That brings different conclusion. Several soldiers with uniform, several without uniform. And I love US. You love Cambodia. You love Romania. He loves China. The patriotism is same. And I got influence from CNN or ABC. You got influence from Tokyo News. He got influence from, I don't know, whatever news. It's the propaganda. Whatever we received, whatever we following, the same. And so another thing is called acquaintance. Whatever we're doing, whatever we did, is whatever stay they under the acquaintance. Maybe they know, maybe they just care less. That's from my perspective. Asymmetrical warfare is kind of like a card game. It's just like a card game because there's 52 cards in there. And which means like whatever technology, whatever method, actually right now is limited. It's countable. So like you know what's in your hand. Just like here, it's just like a WWs. You have your technology, you have your capability, you have your skill, everything. You have the sources, everything in your hand, you know it. And here, maybe it's China, maybe Russia, maybe Iran, whatever. They have one card. And you think, why they give these cards? What else possible in their hands? After Iran or Russia give their cards, you make a decision, what are you going to do? And you think, probably this one, what kind of cards going to give? So it's just mind game and use limited sources. That's my perspective of the search, internet browsing. I believe a river rock could make a splendid but ugly New York City. Just like a one piece information, I starts doing research on internet, starts digging. And when I accumulate everything, I form a New York City. And when I spot the big cheetah, when I see the big cheetah, I really don't have to catch the cheetah. I only need just character, his special pattern to identify that's a cheetah. So that's our methodology says we goes from micro to macro. We see everything from macro to micro. And when we receive those information, when we see the evidence, we first identify them. We verify, we have a criteria to verify, and we validate in our database, and we organize them to form a conclusion. So all those criteria, we set the rules for consistency, for continuity, for it has to be carried by tangible entities. And it has to be published, because we are doing OSINT, so it has to be published by undeniable publishing news. Even those news, the purpose is deceive and deceive. Even those news came from some dumb reporter, doesn't matter, because it's a footprint. It's a footprint. There is something to generate this news, something in there. And we use a cross-reference. That's very important, the three triangulated cross-reference. So those conditions are AND, logical AND condition. And the rules in there is you have to have time attributes in there, or location, or Unicode, or leader's name, or order's number, or designated function. It's just kind of like a machine learning. When we write in program for machine learning, basically you don't have to fill all the attributes. You may be missing two, missing one, doesn't matter. It's all condition. Here is a little bit about China PLA and their hierarchy. And that's the National Party Congress. And after that is the Central Committee. And below this, it has the Central Military Commission, CMC. Under the CMC, no, the rest of just, you guys can go to like a .gov, any page, it will educate you so well, you know. It's well documented. And just police department, the foreign affair, whatever, it's just for China.gov or US, doing the keyword search. And in here we see the CMC has four subsets. One is called General Staff Department. It's kind of like a brain. It organizes and the planning, do all kinds of things. The second is called General Political Department. This department is kind of like YSL, like your body immune system, and preventing soldiers goes to the bad side, thinking bad, and encourage the moral, those kind of things. And another called General Logistic Department. Basically, you need to give them dress, give them food, and providing things for them in order for to fight, right? And the General Armament Department, the weapon, the equipment, things. So that's a GSD, it's a function. It's a brain, organizing, leading, commanding, action, training, military affair, whatever. Those, just their function. That's a PLA force structure. There is seven regions, north, east, northwest, and the Beijing region, and the east region, Nanjing, southeast, and the southwest. And recently, they just reshuffled the cards, and they seem to change a couple of regions, mix with some, and reduce one or two. And Air Force, same, Navy, same. Second Artillery, it's a missile unit. And Ground Force, they have active soldier about 500,000. Armed Police Force, about 1.5 million. And Militia, it's about 1 million. Actually, much more, because one general, military general, recently just said they can just call out about 20 million soldiers, militia, 20 million good militia in 72 hours. That's the way, that's capability. So we recursively break down the infrastructure, the function, everything we can find out. There is a China People's Armed Police and the militia in there. And the militia is basically kind of like a National Guard or Reserve Union. And they attach to active PLA. They do something PLA cannot do, or PLA doesn't want to do, whatever. It's just National Guard, you know, guarding the street or doing some airport job, something. Yeah. And in here we can see the subordination relationship is CMC publishes the order, give the guidance, and GSD, it provides management, right? And the PLA regional commander, they just execute the order to the city level, to APF, the Armored Police Force. And after that, GSD, they publish the training manual, training tasks. And the regional PLA garrison, they execute those tasks. Those local city or local APF, they providing manpower, providing equipment under different authority. So timeline, and that's my initial search because always like to back to the head first. So when I type in the keyword search, PLA, information warfare, whatever, it pops up first. 1997, they have a first PLA division staff, chief of staff training form. Basically, they're learning from Kosovo. They discuss about it and try to find out what China should do for the information warfare. They talk about hacking. That's the incident. They want to hacking. And 1998, they formed the first official net militia unit. Please remember this word, net militia unit. And this unit has 40 professionals. Most are professors and PhDs. Most people were familiar in this book. If you're from West Point, from DIA, whatever, from the IC community, you're definitely familiar in this book. It was cry loud for a while. And it's called Unrestricted Warfare. The two writers, one is Air Force Colonel, another is Lieutenant Colonel, I think. I forgot, they get promoted. And the one retired. And retired. And this book basically, sorry, alcohol. Yeah, this book actually copied or like use a lot of theory and ideas from West, from the information world. So they have their own stuff, and they actually inherited and learned from West. This is a very interesting guy, and he wrote the first Trojan called YAI, and PLA is using it and still use it. It's called YAI, and you guys can go like online doing search about it. It's a really old Trojan. And 1999, and PLA starts thinking about remote access and in Trojan. And right after this, 2000 January, two PLA regions starts have a joint drill, and the purpose is Taiwan War. This general, his name is Xu Xiaoyan, and he got his graduate degree from Canada. Forgot which university, but he's really good for computer science. And in 2000, he talked about information warfare, and he largely, oh, that's bad. In December 2000, the general staff meeting, he talked about unrestricted warfare. He largely quote words, phrase, or idea from unrestricted warfare. And the president loved his talk. So he got promoted from a chief of a communication department, something, to a deputy commander of a PLA region. That's a big jump. In August 2000, there is a first real drill deployed in China, and it's called the Militia Special Net War Training System for Air Defense. Please notice the red marked air defense. In 2001, PLA invest 60 million yuan to build a base, information warfare base. Training those professors, doctors, professionals. There is 430 professionals in there. And this guy is a professor in university. And he's leading couple female militia, net militia groups. In 2001, his proposal called Air Defense Emergency Alternative Plans was accepted by PLA. And under this plan, there is 60 masters and the professors work on it. 2002, two cities start to exchange and study from each other about their experience, whatever they think That's just experience exchange. 2002, there is one unit, and they tested, it's called air defense mass switch. Basically, they adapt the air defense system, the military system with the civilian system, and they testing the capability, testing all the capability for the whole system, air defense system. There is a southwest region, there is a 24/7 militia unit formed by professors and PhDs, and basically their task is doing the surveillance and the air defense and the quick response. They even build a platform, so everyone has a laptop. They can jump on the platform anytime, anywhere, 30 minutes, they can do it. 2002, couple PLO generals, they inspect different labs, the network offense and defense labs. 2002, they invited a couple civilian instructors, civilian hackers, and to teach them how to hack, and use the Trojan called Glacier. It's very famous. Famous one. I used before too. So that's back to the ugly picture. That's all the events. All the events happens during that time period, and you can see like it starts the book, starts talking, starts the book, and starts the Taiwan drill, and. Starts some like active drill, and starts the Trojan, and starts the training base. There is a promotion. There is a base right here, and there is a couple university involvement. These are the net militia units, and those are the unit members. They pledge the loyalty to the party, to the PLA. And there is selection, the criteria for those people, you have to be above 25 to 26, and below 45. And there is some kind of order, really weird. You have to above 5'3", 5'5", 5'5", 5 feet, 6 inch, something like that. just very interesting. They have a kind of criteria for this. And that's the field training and the field inspection for those guys. You see the heavy box for that? See the heavy CRT for that? I don't know. Probably they don't have enough money to buy wireless. So normally those universities, those teachers following the category, the criteria they're being selected, you have to be PhD or graduate degree, you have to be maybe party member or 45 below, whatever. Based on this, in this picture, probably one third of them are net militia. They had net militia training. In 2003, Nanjing PLA region starts outsourcing their war commanding center to universities. And usually, we bomb manufacturer, we bomb air base, we bomb whatever military base, but we never bomb university. They put in university, and those university stay with the civilian residence area, so it's good, safe. And 2003, some like a senior net militia, he's back to his university to teach those junior guys how to use Trojans. And in 2003, a couple stay on the enterprise. They starting act as wartime commanding center. Just like we see, they put a commanding center in university, so you won't bomb it. That's the Lord's mercy. And you put it in state-owned enterprise that's so big, and you can't just destroy so much. You can't destroy it. In 2003, end of 2003, they purchased the new equipment for network and for the network offense and defense. They're doing a test. Couple regions starts doing the joint test. In 2003, there is an operation codename called Frontier Guard 230, and it's a joint operation. The purpose is for air defense, and that militia was heavily involved. Starts 2004, they start purchase new space surveillance and the radar system. 2004, GSD published order. The order give to most of the cities, task them to form net militia unit. And it has a function, it has designation, it has task, whatever, drill related. It's just very clearly order, you need a net militia unit. And May, and they start universe institute called Air Defense Officer Institute. That's their badge. By end of 2004, Guangzhou PRA, they start doing a special recruiting for computer science, PhDs, and the masters. And the PhD, the bonus is 30,000 Chinese yuan, and a master is 20,000 Chinese yuan. And the GSD published the net militia performance review and appraisal. By end of 2004, they have a training and a drill integrate to the real war track. Okay, little stop right here. Last time, actually, people asked me a question about why you like highlight or you put those air defense words like seven times. And anyone recognize this one? Go ahead. You have a question?
That's one of our birds. It's a stealth bird. Chinese.
Give me a second. And so you have your own indication, right? That's the indication. What's the purpose for air defense? Who are they gonna defend for? Very clearly. That's their target, their intention. In the April of 2005, there is a large-scale emergency order to form a national militia unit, militia unit. So that's I found out a really weird criteria. You have to be 5 feet 6 inches taller, and you have to look neat, and whatever. It just seems like doing the show, you know, for a soldier. It's very interesting. It has to be all male, no female, something. That's criteria. And that's the mixed the air defense team and some like a, I forgot, some kind of fiber related team. I just forgot that. Yeah, and they, in the same time, they start the intelligence units for information collection and translation related multiple units. And those are girls, translation or intelligence. Probably girl doing that better. And the PLA and the PAF starts recruit hackers, recruit good computer science people in different universities. That's back to a very interesting story. Anyone heard about the Jingwei? Okay. iDefense developed a guy called Wiki Rose. And this guy was at the beginning he was a regular hacker, but accidentally he won the competition. He became the first class in PAF, Network Offense Defense, the drill. So they sent him to intensive training, the boot camp, for 1 month to doing all kinds of like hands-on training, and he came back. And he get paid. So he formed a team called NCPH, Network Crack Program Hacking. And they released the rootkit called Jingwei. I'm sure like some people just don't want to raise their hand and say you know it or you heard about it. But that's like it caused us a lot of problem. And the iDefense tracing everything back found out that that's him, that's his team, found out his box, everything. And we published the whole story to the community. So after that, Times kind of follow him to where he lives and exposed this guy too much. So PIA just think, since you are exposed too much, we just dump you. So right now he's back to university doing his graduate study. But in China, living is tough. So right now he's doing the underground things. He's selling the credentials, he hacking the games, those online games. And he has a really weird like habit, those habits in his leisure time. As a male, you know, he likes dressing. He likes cosmetic things. It's really called a wicked rose. Yeah. In the 2005, end of 2005, there is national emergency drill structure. China integrate all the airport, harbors, hospital, gas stations, surveillance system into the emergency drill. And those telecom infrastructure was under it. In the 2006 May, there is air defense drill and exchange. Everybody learning and experiencing and they're doing the exchange. So that's another picture. In here, seems like not many activities for the hacking things. It's all like universities, recruitings, and school related. End of 2006 starts a large-scale online psychological warfare against Taiwan. That's the inspection for Taiwan war. It said the first battle use me and the all time use me and use me must win. That's they say. So that's the. Shanghai, it's a very westernized city in the air defense game. In 2007, Wuhan, China's submarine base, production base, was in the air defense game. In 2007, Guangzhou PRA, they set 100 miles offshore for the net militia task. I ask myself why they use 100 mile offshore as it's a reference. It's very interesting. Why you're not using like 200 or 50? So you think about 100 miles offshore, what's the speed travel of the bomber? What's speed of the missile? What's the speed of the net militia reaction time? So that's the number indicates. That's the Wuhan drill. That's his PhD. He's leading about 30 guys under him. In 2007, PIA starts announcing a big news called the electronic magnetic protection solution. And one lady officer found out this solution. So they bring up a new concept, a complicated EE. And it's called CEE. They bring up this concept and integrate into their practicing. Then it's interesting, we start from a network hacking and suddenly we jump to tank regiment. Just kind of jumping too much. Bear with me, follow me. And if you're not following me, bear with me. Yeah, and the tank, as a tanker regiment to travel 1,000 miles, it takes a lot of logistic support, a lot of time, and you can't get away from the satellite surveillance. It's just too much. And why it has to be 1,000 miles? That's another numbers. Just like I said, why is 100 miles offshore? Why is 1,000 miles maneuver under the CE? So which means they have a long way to go, right? In the 2007, PLA starts purchasing from West. they started purchasing, free purchasing, use hackers to purchasing those helicopter-related information. It's a 10-ton helicopter, so it's good for land combat. And 2008, it's a Shenyang PLA region. They have a drill. The drill, the purpose is use Trojan to change logistic requirements and the data to cause confusion. And then EMP destroy the motherboard and the wireless function modules and the landlines. And the finally, radio stations. September, that's Guangzhou. They deploy a KS-1 missile with their Malaysia units. And that's the short-range missile, 50 to 100 miles. And the second artillery battalion, artillery, they have the largest drill in the history and they deploy the new network standard. Well, we jump everywhere. 35 satellites will cover the surrounding, China surrounding area. And we're back to tank again. And the tank regiment, they have a code name called the Frontline 2008. And it's a live ammunition under the CEE. Beginning of this year, China has South Sea Fleet, they have a drill under the CEE. So I'm use the blue word for the CEE. So in this stage, there's not much university involved. Those are the real practicing, real integration in there. Okay, let's see the small animation. The original starts from here. The two PLA region, then they move to the Chengdu, then move to Guiyang. That's the first stage is the red, second stage is blue, third stage is green. Can anybody like form some kind of fuzzy sense about what they are doing for South Sea Fleet, East Sea Fleet? And as an industry, as business, like we usually use a production developer stage. We're learning, we have a different stages. So first, we're doing the strategic planning stage. Everything we're doing strategic planning stage. So it's perfectly fits timeline one. And after that, you have a research stage. That's timeline two. Production define, that's stage three. Project management, timeline four. You industrializing everything, timeline five. Implementation, timeline six. And dissemination, timeline seven. And you go to a new circle, prepare for CEE. So that's a spiral mode for everything. Basically, you understand the requirements, you go to design a system, then you build it in the stage, then you test, evaluate, final released. And the following like a PPT I insert from my boss, and Rick, he's a PPT, PowerPoint goon, you know. And I like it, it's really good, and that's his credit. Okay. Why you love that lady? Okay, it starts in 1997, it starts here. They have a discussion. It's a rapid prototype, and it's end of 2009. Okay, so starts 1997 here, 2009 here, and first, training, Kosovo, discussion, it's understand the requirement. Go to the rapid prototype, it's first Malaysia unit. Then, 99, first Trojan, understand requirement, that's net unstrict warfare. Why this guy there? Okay, just like a game, you understand all the requirement. You understand this first, then you know the game. Otherwise, you're just yelling with everybody else. And the designer system, he got promoted to the Nanjing region. He starts designer system. That's the Air Defense Institute. They build it into different stages. When they're doing the different unit tests, psychological unit, warfare unit, that's the testing and the evaluation. Get back to the understand requirement again. Wartime in command center design system, that's they put into universities. And testing evaluation, that's called Frontier Guide 230, and that's the testing and the evaluation. Perfectly fits each sector. He published a book called Military IT Principles. Wow, it's a little messed up. Okay, so final release, EMP. That's the final release. We can see the quick prototype, the target is Taiwan. And the requirements in the second stage. The design stage, design the system in the third stage. Building different units into the different operation. That's the stage 4 and 5. Test 6 and 7. And release it, disseminate. And research the CEE back to the initial focus. The fact list. And I deduct from those informations, we see PLA is guiding and tasking the militia unit and the civilian companies. PLA has deployed large-scale national cyber emergency drill. And all activities are based on physical infrastructure cert. I will show you in the next slide. In the PLA information warfare, the focus was air defense. And recently, they shift to the operation under the CEE. And you can see those dots, like a first stage, second stage, third stage. It's from inland to the coastline. You see personal involved, you see business involved, and the whole nationwide emergency drill. So it's from person to business to nationwide. It's called People's War. From civilian researcher to official orders, from land to ocean to space. Everybody see we're jumping everywhere, from space to ocean to tank to network. And from virtual, just a theory, just to tank to missile, that's from virtual to real. And that's my conclusion. Taiwan was the initial issue and is still will be. And in here, PLA information warfare, the module is complete. And that's the CERNET map, and I'm talking about, because I say everything is based on the CERNET. And this is the China CERNET structure, and you see all the events. I put all the events into this map, you see. Perfect. It perfectly fit. They are practicing on this structure. It's a China Education and Research Net, because that's IPv6 is running on this net. Okay, just a little like a little curiosity make me forward a little bit, because since Taiwan. It's close to us, right? And so I'm doing a little more research from Taiwan intelligence, those assets. And I found out there is one thing called a head-off operation. That's the map shows. The yellow one shows the missile, the bombing area, and the Air Force, the airborne dropping area. The gray one is the China second artillery cover zone. The red one is 72 hours U.S., Japan, and the Korea reaction zone. And that's the for the 7th Fleet, for after the battle. And that's the South Sea, China South Sea Fleet control zone. This blue with the blue one, that's the China East Sea Fleet control zone. And that's the landing, land force land zone. And so that's the Taipei City map. There's all the government buildings in this area. That's perfect lands. All the missile will be there. Hey, I love internet. It's called Google search. Yeah, it's called Taiwan War Head Off Operation. You guys can find out. It's easy. Just type keyword. I explained earlier already that's Western U.S., Japan reaction time, missile cover. And following just my own observation, and I'm really like love the curiosity. You know, it's bringing you so much good things. And most of my information just from internet, sitting on the couch, drinking and typing, find out. And 10% maybe just talk to some reliable sources and tell me some story. And the following things, you may just, you have to have some kind of character or to digest this, because like you have to have some kind of investigators, you know, special sense, very sharp sense to do it. And when you think it, you put everything together, you have to have a kind of like a robot. That's what I'm doing, the AI writing for a robot. The robot thinking, you have to fill all the slots and doing machine learning things. And you can't give up. You can't be a queer. You have to be a tank saber run. You have to penetrate. You have to all the way to the end. And you have to serve, or you have to like treat those information like a Disney kitchen man. Basically, it doesn't matter where you came from, who you are, I'm serving you with a professional attitude, with a neutral ground. So it takes passion, takes expertise, takes neutral thinking, takes effort, time to digest it. I found out that this information, they've been practicing 107 millimeter rockets. And the same thing, why use 1 millimeter rockets? Why it is a battalion size? Why it's on a beach? It's just very normal question for a normal person, normal researchers. And the put everything together, find the principle, find the facts. That's the size of the 107 millimeter rocket. And find out the landcraft for China armies. And you see like this, the size, the capability, you calculate one battalion. And when PLA doing the simulation, they focus on the landing parts. Why they not doing the jungle parts? Why they love to doing the landing parts? It must be some kind of purpose for landing. And they have diesel AIP. And since the, if anyone remember, there was incidents happens, one China diesel submarine raised up really close to U.S. Aircraft carrier, and kind of like I say, hi, dumb, just I'm here. And those like a U.S. submarine was like really shocked. They penetrate their defense line. And that's the good part of the diesel AIP. It's really quiet. You can't detect, hard to detect. And it's cheap. So China increased the order to produce those submarines. Wuhan and Shanghai increased the order for the submarine. 30 kilometer anti-ship missile. So that's perfectly fits the picture, the head off. Because when you measure the distance between the coastline to Taiwan coastline, that's perfectly fits the zone. And the ship, whose ship in there? Wow, they're getting serious about after nuke action. And how many countries has these capabilities? And how many countries will easily deploy the nuke in South Sea. And they use thousands jets, bombers. And some jets are really old, grandma level jets, and some are very fashion jets. They mix them together doing a deep inland combined drills. And why they use those old like jets, really old, like grandma level, you know? And what's the purpose? And that's another province, they try to confiscate those faked military tags. In China, military, there is a lot of toll road on the highway. It's a really bad thing because I can drive from East Coast to West Coast, I pay nothing. I drive from South to North, I pay nothing. But in China, the highway is you have to pay every time. And the military tag give you privilege. You can go through those toll roads free and quicker than everybody else. And so those smuggling people use fake military tags mixed with a military convoy to get there, save the money, or can get some good stuff sneak in. And it will harm or damage the operation. So they take those tags away, catch them, and keep their operation clean. Why put a YMAX on the top of Everest? I don't know. They want to help Indians something, but I know they hate each other. And that's if anybody remember, that's last year, there's the Indian government was crying about the Xiaotian. Her female hacker union was hacking the Indian government and doing the deface and something. They did. They actually take some data from government, take from some financial institute. And I met her. She's not that good. Just not that skill set, not that dedicated, self-lover, and has a big scar right here. Came from countryside. Her parents are farmers. And she has no job right now. But she gets some money for travel. I don't know where it came from. Yeah, 210, by end of 210, China said they're going to deploy 35 satellites and that they will cover, and that by next year, 2011, they will have a space station. So let's check this. It's a map. And that's the satellite cover zone from here, east 70 to 140, north 5 to 55. So basically, it covers China and some Philippine, Cambodian, and South Sea, and all the way cover Afghanistan. Wow, they're doing some free service for them or what? And basically, those 35 satellite covers. And in here, there is a pass you can access from Pakistan to China. In here, there is a pass. In here, Bangladesh, there is a, it's called the McMahon line, whatever. I think China and India had a big fight during that time, during 60 or 70, 60. And here is the South Sea operation, East Sea operation, and here is the YMAX on the Everest. Here is the military tag, fake military tag. That's the nuke operation. That's the, what's the name? 107 rocket. Yeah, that's China. They can deploy 500,000 soldiers and 1,500 tanks and 900 jets into that area really quick. See, that's the tank maneuver. We talk about the tank maneuver. 1,000 miles, that's distance for 1,000 miles. So it's if you're doing the cover zone, it covers basically covers this area. That's another Frontier 230 drill that covers another maneuver that covers this area. That's the EC flea. That's the Nanjing, another drill. So you see the purpose of this is the focus is still by the coastline, and they have some kind of surveillance and protection in this area. I just read the news, like when a couple of China generals talk about China has no real war since like 50 years ago with the U.S. And the soldier needs practicing. Wow, sounds really cold-blooded. And by the military regulation, 2004, the Air Defense University, the Institute of Soldier, they graduate, they will be O2 level, just like a lieutenant level. And every 4 years, they get promoted. So from 02 to 05 or to 06, basically, you can calculate it's about 220. And 05, 06, they are the most backbone for military operation. And the U.S. Heritage Foundation research found out 2025 in Pacific area, China submarine and U.S. submarine, the number, the ratio will be 5-1. And by 2020, China will have 2 aircraft carrier. And it's another interesting issue, the imbalance between male and the female, because some like a really bad tradition, they like boy, they don't like girls, so they kill girls. And that's a bad consequence they have. They have extra 40 million bachelors by 2020. And can you imagine 40 million extra young boys, and they mostly live poor, without a party like us? And what's the best solution for them? Waste them. So from now on, we're looking for another 10 years. That's my hypothesis. So if Taiwan war break out, then mostly China will face cyber-related, cyber propaganda, economic things, media, whatever. It's like do whatever we will do, whatever we can do. And space, we're probably going to shut down those satellites. And we'll have regular airstrike, regular airborne landing, whatever, those things. And ocean, we have a Pacific Fleet in there. And maybe we have like a special task, land insertion or backstabbing from India. And so all the policies, all the movement China made starts making sense. It's counter all those operations. Great firewall to against the propaganda, media penetration, and IPv6. CN route. China was applying for the CN as a route for so many years. Satellite quick launch. They can launch 12 satellites in 20 minutes. And the air defense, CE, more diesel submarine, satellite cover zone, deal with the Indian. Everything starts making sense. That's just my one step leap. Probably too much. And I finish my today's speech. And if you have any questions, we can answer by the launch. Thank you.